Good morning, everybody. My name's Bryony, and it's great to be joining you again here for Online Church. I hope you've enjoyed the rest of the gathering, hearing lots of stories and seeing some familiar faces. I know as a family, we've really enjoyed spotting lots of people that we know over the last few weeks. That's just felt really precious in this strange season. So I have a question for you this morning. What would your bank account tell me about what you value? What would your bank account tell me about what you value? Now, obviously, you don't need to panic because we're not in church, so I'm not going to be running around with a microphone asking people to confess all. I'm not going to be able to get you to raise your hands or anything like that. But I do want you to think about what someone else would say you value if they were to look at your bank statement, both during and before the pandemic. What conclusions would they draw about what you value, about what is important to you? Today, we're going to look at a passage where Jesus speaks to what we put value on and where we choose to find our security. So I'm going to jump straight in at our passage today, which is Matthew 6, verses 19 to 23. And this is what Jesus has to say. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermins do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. These words are taken from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' amazing teaching on what the kingdom of God looks like. And that has been the focus for this mini-series on the beautiful life. Casey began it 2 weeks ago when he shared about the Beatitudes and really introduced us to the Sermon on the Mount. And then Mick carried on last week and spoke about salt and light. And I'm sure made many of us very hungry for chips at 11 o'clock in the morning. But today's passage sits in the next chapter, right in the middle of chapter 6, sandwiched in between teaching on money, prayer, fasting and worry, which Tom will move on to next week. It's a great chapter, and there are just so much of it can be applied practically to our lives. I really love it as a chapter from the Gospels. And Jesus is speaking to a large crowd of people, as Casey described 2 weeks ago. You know, a large number of these people would have been poor, and the majority of them would have been living under the oppression of the Roman government. So when Jesus talks about storing things up, they would have recognised themselves in those descriptions. In times of uncertainty, it is human nature, isn't it, to try and create security. For the people listening to Jesus, the storing up was of grain, of produce, of land, of money. And some of those things have changed, but we can certainly identify with that need to create security. You know, you only have to glance at the news. And in fact, I'm recording this on Monday morning, and I've just been watching on the news some of the pictures of people queuing desperately to get into shops this morning. And it's not that long that people were queuing for hours to store up things at Costco and to bulk buy everything and were looking for the nearest shop selling toilet roll. You know, some people were literally storing up grain in that season. Now, there is nothing wrong with treasuring things. There's nothing wrong with giving value to our possessions, our clothes, our car, our houses, our stuff. Jesus isn't concerned with us having things. In fact, we're often directed in the Bible to give thanks for God's goodness and his provision in our lives and the things that we have. But what Jesus cares about is where that storing up leads our hearts. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what you choose to value will shape your heart. What we store up, what we value, ends up leading our hearts. And God cares about where our hearts end up. Throughout the story of the people of God, told in the Old Testament, is the theme of God wanting to be his people's provider. From the moment that God clothes Adam and Eve as they are thrust out of the Garden of Eden, through the parting of the Red Sea and his provision of 40 years worth of food as they wandered in the desert, God has always been reminding them and revealing himself to his children as Jehovah Jireh, their provider. And on Mount Sinai, God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, and one of them centres around an instruction to rest, to observe Sabbath, one day a week when all activity and work ceases. And this wasn't just God's plan to give his people a better life-work balance. This was God's plan to give his people a day every week where they would remember that he is their provider, that he was their sustainer. You know, that they could cease working and the world would keep spinning under God's authority and power. And he makes this point even clearer a little later on when he introduces the law of giving the land a Sabbath, that every 7 years they were to cease harvesting and sowing, they were to stop, that the land itself would be given a year off. And all of this was to demonstrate that God was the place where his people were to find security, not in their own efforts, their own storing up, their own hard work. That no, God would show them every 7 days and every 7 years that they were living in the centre of his wonderful, abundant grace. Now, many of you know that we have been trying to leave Sheffield for the past year to move to South Wales to join the church there. And in fact, some of you are probably wondering if I am recording this from Wales, but I can assure you this shed is definitely still in Sheffield. And we have had numerous setbacks with our move that have resulted in a year later us still being here. We have lived in uncertainty for this past year. But I can confidently say that during this time of having very little security about the future, God has reminded us time and time again that he wants us to find our security in him. And we have learned the lesson that we are not promised prosperity if we're obedient to God, but we are promised his presence. We're not promised that God will optimise our lives here on earth, that everything will go the way we want, that we will have everything we need, but we are promised that he will sustain us. And our part of the deal is to rest, to cease working, to stop storing things up. Now, my tendency is kind of towards work, and I know that God doesn't think that work is wrong. In fact, the Bible advocates hard work and not being lazy. But when hard work turns into me making things happen, me providing for myself, then I am storing up the wrong things in the wrong storehouses. You know, as a family, this year has been a stripping away for us of many of the things we have put security in. The truth is that we still don't know where we will be living, working, worshipping, and what school we'll be at next month, let alone, you know, next year. And yet our testimony is that most of the time, because, you know, there have been wobbles, of course, over this last year, but most of the time, God has given us a peace that surpasses all understanding. That we have learned that our security is in him. It's not in a house, it's not in a location, it's not in a community, it's not even in a calling. Our security is found in him, and that is unchangeable, no matter how much uncertainty surrounds us. Recently, I heard someone say, rest is the deepest expression of faith. Rest is the deepest expression of faith. You know, and that one sentence has spoken to me more than 100 sermons have the rest of the year, because it speaks a divine truth that when we rest from our striving to accumulate, to store up, you know, to the keeping up with the Joneses, when we rest from that and say, God, I'm putting my future, my security in your hands, we are expressing a faith that is the treasure Jesus directs us to store up. And when we treasure that place of rest, when we treasure the presence of our Heavenly Father, then we find that there our hearts will be found also. And when Jesus says these words, we know that he himself is about to put them into practice. As Jesus surrenders to the cross, he was choosing to find his security in his Heavenly Father. You know, he had the power, didn't he, to get down from the cross. And yet he surrenders, knowing that he is storing up treasures in heaven, when as he makes a way for us to have a relationship with God. Rest is the deepest expression of faith. And I want to finish this morning by just sharing two practical ways that I think we can aim to store up treasures in heaven today. Firstly, rest. Where could we rest from storing up earthly treasures today? You know, maybe that's taking a month very practically off buying non-essential items. You know, I've done this and I'm currently doing it and I find it super helpful. Maybe part of it is deciding that we're not going to join the queues in the shops, that we're not going to be forced into panic buying more things, that we're not going to be bought into the consumeristic message that we will be sent over the next few weeks, that we need to buy, buy, buy. Maybe we can take a step back from that. You know, maybe it's having a bit of a think about our bank accounts and what we could give a rest in this season. Maybe it's taking a day off, you know, no checking emails, nothing that would make us feel productive. We as a family keep Sabbath every week, and it has brought such a big transformation to our life. So I definitely highly recommend that. So rest, generosity. Could we look for an opportunity to give this week? Maybe money, but maybe it could be a more fun thing. Like maybe it could be an item that you love, but they don't really need, that you could give to someone else this week. You know, generosity flies in the face of the storing up attitude, because it causes us to look out for the needs of others and how we can bless others. You know, in all this talking of storing up, my husband Rich, who many of you know, is a store upper of watch parts. And over the past couple of years, he's had a lot of fun getting old watches or buying watch parts and taking them all apart and making customised watches. And the watches that he makes are a labour of love. Like, he spends hours doing something in this shed with these watches, and in the end of it comes out with these beautiful watches that he wears quite a lot. Obviously he doesn't wear multiple watches, so just one a day, but he wears them every day and really gets a lot of joy from them. But it was our friend Andy's 50th birthday this week, and Rich just felt like he should give one of these watches to Andy. Andy is also getting into this whole watch subculture. So, and Rich gave him one of these watches that he'd spent hours over and loved. But I think watching Andy unwrap this watch and be given something that he knew was precious to Rich was such a joy. It was such a delight. Because generosity teaches us to see what we have been given as tools for God's kingdom and tools of blessing, rather than a means of storing up, rather than a means of making our world more secure. So rest and generosity. Now, these may feel like utterly non-spiritual things, but I guarantee you that the more we challenge the mindset which would tell us to store up, to keep just in case, to over-accumulate, the more opportunity we give God to reveal his nature as our provider, our sustainer, and the only place we can ever truly find rest and security. And I want to take a few moments now just to lead us in a short reflection and prayer time, just before we kind of rush off into the rest of our day. So can we just still ourselves for a moment? You might want to close your eyes, and I'm just going to read over you and over myself some questions for us to think about. So let's still ourselves now. So firstly, what is the answer, the honest answer to the question, what does my bank account say I value? What conclusions would someone else draw if they saw what we spend our money on? What need consumes my thoughts right now? What things have I stored up, hoping they would create security? Where do I need to turn my eyes to God and away from earthly treasures? Where is the challenge for me this morning? And I want to finish by reading Jesus' words from Matthew 11 over us. And as I read these, I want us to just breathe. And as we exhale, we're just exhaling any feelings of striving, any feelings of not being good enough in this area. And as we inhale, we're just going to inhale his grace, his rest, his simplicity. So this is Matthew 11 from the Message translation. Are you tired out, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen.